She never said nothing back. She never stand up for herself. Try to make a little half stand sometime for the children, but that always backfire. More she stand up for us, the harder time he give her. He hate children, and he hate where they come from. Though from all the children he got, you'd never know it. I never know nothing about her family. I thought, looking at her, nobody in her family could be scared. How many he got, I asked. 12, she say. Phew, I say. My daddy got 6 by my mama before she died, I say. He got 4 more by the wife he got now. I don't mention the 2 he got by me. How many girls, she asked. 5, I say. How about in your family? 6 boys, 6 girls. All the girls big and strong, like me. Boys big and strong, too, but all the girls stick together. 2 brothers stick with us, too, sometime. Us get in a fight, it's a sight to see. I ain't never struck a living thing, I say. Oh, when I was at home, I tapped the little ones on the behind to make them behave, but not hard enough to hurt. What you do when you get mad, she asked. I think. I can't even remember the last time I felt mad, I say. I used to get mad at my mammy, 'cause she put a lot of work on me. Then I see how sick she is. Couldn't stay mad at her. Couldn't be mad at my daddy, 'cause he my daddy. Bible say, honor father and mother no matter what. Then after a while, every time I got mad or started to feel mad, I got sick. Felt like throwing up. Terrible feeling. Then I started to feel nothing at all. Sophia frowned. Nothing at all? Well, sometime mister get on me pretty hard. I have to talk to old Maker. But he my husband. I shrugged my shoulders. This life soon be over, I say. Heaven last always. You ought to bash mister's head open, she say. Think about heaven later. Not much funny to me. That funny. I laugh. She laugh. Then us both laugh so hard, us flop down on the step. Let's make quilt pieces out of these messed up curtains, she say. And I run get my pattern book. I sleeps like a baby now. Dear God, Shug Avery sick, and nobody in this town want to take the queen honeybee in. Her mammy say she told her so. Her pappy say, tramp. A woman at church say she dying. Maybe tuberculosis or some kind of nasty woman disease. What? I want to ask, but don't. The women at church sometime nice to me, sometime not. They look at me there struggling with Mr.'s cheering. Trying to drag them to the church, trying to keep them quiet after us get there. They some of the same ones used to be here both times I was big. Sometimes they think I don't notice. They stare at me. Puzzle. I keep my head up best I can. I do a right smart for the preacher. Clean the floor and windows, make the wine, wash the altar linen, make sure there's wood for the stove in winter time. He called me Sister Seeley. Sister Seeley, he say, you faithful as the day is long. Then he talked to the other ladies and they men's. I scurry about doing this, doing that. Mister sit back by the door, gazing here and there. The women smile in his direction every chance they get. He never look at me or even notice. Even the preacher got his mouth on Shug Avery. Now she down. He take her condition for his text. He don't call no name, but he don't have to. Everybody know who he mean. He talk about a strumpet in short skirts, smoking cigarettes and drinking gin, singing for money and taking other women men. Talk about slut, hussy, heifer, and street cleaner. I cut my eyes back at mister when he say that, street cleaner. Somebody got to stand up for Shug, I think. but he don't say nothing. He crosses legs first to one side, then to the other. He gazes out the window. The same women smile at him, say amen, getting shook. But once us home, he never stopped to take off his clothes. He called down to Harpo and Sophia house. Harpo come running. Hitch up the wagon, he say. Where us going, say Harpo. Hitch up the wagon, he say again. Harpo hitch up the wagon. They stand there and talk a few minutes out by the barn. Then Mr. drive off. One good thing about the way he never do any work around the place. Us never miss him when he gone. 5 days later, I look way off up the road and see the wagon coming back. It got sort of a canopy over it now, made out of old blankets or something. My heart began to beat like fury, and the first thing I try to do is change my dress. But too late for that. By the time I get my head and arm out the old dress, I see the wagon pull up in the yard. Plus a new dress won't help none with my knotty head and dusty head rag, my old everyday shoes, and the way I smell. I don't know what to do, I'm so beside myself. I stand there in the middle of the kitchen, mind whirling. I feels like who would have thought. Seely? I hear Mr. call. Harpo? I stick my head and my arm back in my old dress and wipe the sweat and dirt off my face as best I can. I come to the door. Yes, sir, I asked, and trip over the broom I was sweeping with when I first noticed the wagon. Harpo and Sophia in the yard now, looking inside the wagon, their faces grim. Who this? Harpo asked. The woman should have been your mammy, he say. Sugar Avery? Harpo asked. He look up at me. Help me get her in the house, Mr. say. I think my heart gonna fly out my mouth when I see one of her foots come poking out. She not lying down. She climbing down tween Harpo and Mr., and she dressed to kill. She got on a red wool dress and chest full of black beads. A shiny black hat with what looked like chicken hawk feathers curved down side one cheek, and she carrying a little snake skin bag match her shoes. She looked so stylish it like the trees all round the house draw themselves up tall for a better look. Now I see she stumble between the two men. She don't seem that well acquainted with her feets. Close up I see all this yellow powder caked up on her face. Red rouge. She looked like she ain't long for this world, but dressed well for the next, but I know better. Come on in, I want to cry, to shout. Come on in. With God help, Celia going to make you well. But I don't say nothing. It not my house. Also, I ain't been told nothing. They get halfway up the step. Mr. look up at me. Seely, he say. This here, Sugar Avery. Old friend of the family. Fix up the spare room. Then he look down at her, hold her in one arm, hold on to the rail with the other. Harpo on the other side, looking sad. Sophia and the children in the yard, watching. I don't move at once, 'cause I can't. I need to see her eyes. I feel like once I see her eyes, my feet can let go the spot where they stuck. Get moving, he say, sharp. And then she look up. Under all that powder, her face black as Harpo. She got a long pointed nose and big fleshy mouth. Lips look like black plum. Eyes big. Glossy, feverish, and mean. Like sick as she is, if a snake cross her path, she kill it. She look me over from head to foot, then she cackle, sound like a death rattle. You sure is ugly, she say, like she ain't believed it. Dear God, ain't nothing wrong with Sug Avery. She's just sick. Sicker than anybody I ever seen. She's sicker than my mama was when she died. But she more evil than my mama, and that keep her alive. Mr. B in the room with her all time of the night or day. He don't hold her hand, though. She too evil for that. Turn loose my goddamn hand, she said to Mr. What the matter with you? You crazy? I don't need no weak little boy can't say no to his daddy hanging on me. I need me a man, she say. A man. She look at him and roll her eyes and laugh. It not much of a laugh, but it keep him away from the bed. He sit over in the corner, away from the lamp. Sometimes she wake up in the night and don't even see, but he there, sitting in the shadows, chewing on his pipe. No tobacco in it. First thing she said, I don't want to smell no stinking blankety-blank pipe. You hear me, Albert? Who Albert, I wonder. Then I remember, Albert, Mister's first name. Mister don't smoke, don't drink, don't even hardly eat. He just got her in that little room, watching every breath. What happened to her, I asked. You don't want to hear, just say so, he say. Won't do no good, but if that the way you feel, he don't finish. I want her here, I say, too quick. He look at me like maybe I'm planning something bad. I just want to know what happened, I say. I look at his face, it tired and sad, and I notice his chin weak. Not much chin there at all. I have more chin, I think. And his clothes dirty, dirty. When he pull them off, dust rise. Nobody fight for Sug, he say. And a little water come to his eyes. Dear God, they have made three babies together, but he's squeamish about giving her a bath. Maybe he figure he start thinking about things he shouldn't. But what about me? First time I got the full sight of Sug Avery's long black body with its black plum nipples look like her mouth, I thought I had turned into a man. What you staring at? She asked, hateful. She weak as a kitten, but her mouth just packed with claws. You never seen a naked woman before? No, ma'am, I said. I never did, except for Sophia, and she's so plump and ruddy and crazy, she feel like my sister. She say, well, take a good look. Even if I is just a bag of bones now. She had the nerve to put one hand on her naked hip and bat her eyes at me. Then she suck her teeth and roll her eyes at the ceiling while I wash her. I wash her body. It feel like I'm praying. My hands tremble and my breath short. She say, you ever have any kids? I say, yes, ma'am. She say, how many? And don't you yes, ma'am, me. I ain't that old. I say, two. She asked me where they is. I say, I don't know. She look at me funny. My kids with the grandma, she say. She could stand the kids. I had to go. You miss them? I ask. No, she say. I don't miss nothing. Dear God, I asked Sug Avery what she want for breakfast. She say, what y'all got? I say, ham, grits, eggs, biscuits, coffee, sweet milk or buttermilk, flapjacks, jelly, and jam. She say, is that all? What about orange juice, grapefruit, strawberries, and cream, tea? Then she laugh. I don't want none of your damn food, she say. Just give me a cup of coffee and hand me my cigarettes. I don't argue. I get the coffee and light her cigarette. She wearing a long white gown, and her thin black hand stretching out of it to hold the white cigarette looks just right. Something about it, Maybe the little tender veins I see and the big ones I try not to make me scared. I feel like something pushing me forward. If I don't watch out, I'll have a hold of her hand, tasting her fingers in my mouth. "Can I sit in here and eat with you?" I asked. She shrugged. She busy looking at a magazine. White women in it laughing, holding their beads out on one finger, dancing on top of motor cars, jumping into fountains. She flipped the pages, looked dissatisfied. Remind me of a child trying to get something out of a toy. It can't work yet. She drank her coffee, puff on her cigarette. I bite into a big, juicy piece of home-cured ham. You can smell this ham for a mile when you're cooking it. It perfume up her little room with no trouble at all. I lavish butter on a hot biscuit, sort of wave it about. I sop up ham gravy and splash my eggs in with my grits. She blow more and more smoke. Look down in her coffee like maybe it's something solid at the bottom. Finally, she say, "Celie, I believe I could drink a glass of water. And this here by the bed ain't fresh." She hold out her glass. I put my plate down on the card table by the bed. I go dip her up some water. I come back, pick up my plate. Look like a little mouse been nibbling the biscuit. A rat run off with the ham. She act like nothing happened. Began to complain about being tired. Doze on off to sleep. Mister asked me how I get her to eat. I say, nobody living can stand to smell home-cured ham without tasting it. If they did, they got a chance. Maybe. Mister laugh. I noticed something crazy in his eyes. "I've been scared," he said. "Scared." And he covered up his eyes with his hands. Dear God, Sugar Avery sit up in bed a little today. I wash and comb out her hair. She got the knottiest, shortest, kinkiest hair I ever saw. And I loves every strand of it. The hair that come out in my comb, I kept. Maybe one day I'll get a net, make me a rat to pump up my own hair. I work on her like she a doll, or like she Olivia, or like she mama. I comb and pat, comb and pat. First she say, "Hurry up and get finished." Then she melt down a little and lean back against my knees. "That feel just right," she say. "That feel like Mama used to do. Or maybe not Mama. Maybe Grandma." She reach for another cigarette. Start hum a little tune. "What that song?" I ask. "Sound low down dirty to me, like what the preacher tell you is sin to hear, not to mention sing." She hum a little more. "Something come to me," she say. "Something I made up. Something you helped scratch out my head." Dear God, Mr.'s daddy show up this evening. He a little short, shrunk-up man with a bald head and gold spectacles. He clears throat a lot, like everything he say need announcement. Talk with his head lent to one side. He come right to the point. "Just couldn't rest till you got it in your house, could ya?" he say, coming up the step. Mister don't say nothing. Look out across the railing at the trees, over the top of the well. Eyes rest on the top of Harpo and Sophia House. "Won't you have a seat?" I ask, pushing him up a chair. "How about a cool drink of water?" Through the window, I hear Shug humming and humming, practicing her little song. I sneak back to her room and shut the window. "Old mister," say to mister. "Just what is it about this Shug Avery anyway?" he say. "She black as tar. She nappy-headed. She got legs like baseball bats." Mister don't say nothing. I drop a little spit in old mister's water. "Why," say old mister, She ain't even clean. I hear she got the nasty woman disease. I twirl the spit round with my finger. I think about ground glass. Wonder how you grind it. But I don't feel mad at all. Just interest. Mister turn his head slow, watches Daddy drink. Then say, real sad, you ain't got it in you to understand, he say. I love Suge Avery. Always have. Always will. I should have married her when I had the chance. Yeah, say old mister, and throwed your life away. Mr. Grunt right there. And a right smart of my money with it. Old mister clear his throat. Nobody even sure exactly who her daddy is. I never care who her daddy is, said mister. And her mammy take in white people dirty clothes to this day, plus all her children got different daddies. It all just too trifling and confused. Well, say mister, and turn full face on his daddy. All Suge Avery's children got the same daddy. I vouch for that. Old mister clears throat. Well, this my house, this my land. Yo boy Harpo in one of my houses, on my land. Weeds come up on my land, I chop 'em up. Trash blow over it, I burn it. He rise to go, hand me his glass. Next time he come, I put a little Suge Avery pee in his glass. See how he like that. Seely, he say, you have my sympathy. Not many women let their husband's hole lay up in their house. But he not saying it to me. He saying it to mister. Mister look up at me. Our eyes meet. This the closest us ever felt. He say, hand paw his hat, Seely. And I do. Mister don't move from his chair by the railing. I stand in the door. Us watch old mister begin harumpin' and harumpin' down the road home. Next one come visit, his brother Tobias. He real fat and tall, looked like a big yellow bear. Mister small like his daddy, his brother stand way taller. Where's she at? He asked, grinning. Where the queen honey be? Got something for her, he say. He put little box of chocolate on the railing. She's sleeping, I say. Didn't sleep much last night. How you doing there, Albert? He say, dragging up a chair. He run his hand over his slicked back hair and try to feel if there's a booger in his nose. Wipe his hand on his pants, shake out the crease. I just heard Suge Avery was here, he say. How long you had her? Oh, say mister, couple of months. Hell, say Tobias, I heard she was dying. That goes to show, don't it, that you can't believe everything you hear. He smoothed down his mustache, run his tongue out the corners of his lips. What you no good, Miss Seely, he say. Not much, I say. Me and Sophia piecing another quilt together. I got about 5 squares pieced, spread out on the table by my knee, my basket full of scraps on the floor. Always busy, always busy, he say. I wish Margaret was more like you. Save me a bundle of money. Tobias and his daddy always talk about money like they still got a lot. Old mister been selling off the place so that nothing much left but the houses and the fields. My and Harpo fields bring in more than anybody. I piece on my square. Look at the colors of the cloth. Then I hear Tobias' chair fall back, and he say, Suge. Suge halfway between sick and well, halfway between good and evil, too. Most days now she show me and mister her good side, but evil all over her today. She smile, like a razor opening, say, "Well, well, look who is here today." She wearing a little flowery shift I made for her and nothing else. She looked about 10 with her hair all cornrowed. She's skinny as a bean and her face full of eyes. Me and Mister both look up at her. Both move to help her sit down. She don't look at him. She pull up a chair next to me. She pick up a random piece of cloth out the basket, hold it up to the light, frown. "How you sew this damn thing?" she say. I hand her the square I'm working on. Start another one. She sew long, crooked stitches. Remind me of that little crooked tune she sing. "That real good for first try," I say. "That's just fine and dandy." She look at me and snort. "Everything I do is fine and dandy to you, Miss Celia," she say. "But that's 'cause you ain't got good sense." She laugh. I duck my head. "She got a heap more sense than Margaret," say Tobias. "Margaret, take that needle and sew your nostrils together." "All women's not alike, Tobias," she say. "Believe it or not." "Oh, I believe it," he say. "Just can't prove it to the world." First time I ever think about the world. What the world got to do with anything, I think. Then I see myself sitting there quilting between Sug Avery and Mister. Us three set together against Tobias and his fly-speck box of chocolate. For the first time in my life, I feel just right. Dear God, me and Sophia work on the quilt. Got it framed up on the porch. Sug Avery donate her old yellow dress for scrap, and I work in a piece every chance I get. Get a nice pattern called Sister's Choice. If the quilt turn out perfect, maybe I give it to her. If it not perfect, maybe I keep. I want it for myself, just for the little yellow pieces look like stars, but not. Mr. and Sug walk up the road to the mailbox. The house quiet, except for the flies. They swing through every now and then, drunk from eating and enjoying the heat, buzz enough to make me drowsy. Sophia looked like something on her mind, she just not sure what. She bend over the frame, sew a little while, then rear back in her chair and look out across the yard. Finally, she rest her needle, say, "Why do people eat, Miss Seeley? Tell me that." "To stay alive," I say. "What else?" "Course, some folks eat 'cause food tastes good to 'em. Then some is gluttons. They love to feel their mouth work." "Them the only reasons you can think of?" she asks. "Well, sometime it might be a case of being undernourished," I say. She mews. "He not undernourished," she say. "Who ain't?" I ask. "Harpo," she say. "Harpo? He eating more and more every day. Maybe he got a tapeworm." She frown. "No," she say, "I don't think of the tapeworm. Tapeworm make you hungry. Harpo eat when he ain't even hungry." "What? Force it down?" This hard to believe, but sometimes you hear new things every day. Not me, you understand, but some folk do say that. "Last night for supper, he ate a whole pan of biscuits by himself." "No," I say, "he sure did. And had 2 big glasses of buttermilk along with it. This was after supper was over, too. I was giving the children their baths, getting them ready for bed. He's supposed to be washing the dishes. Instead of washing plates, he cleaning them with his mouth. Well, maybe he was extra hungry. Y'all he's been working hard." "Not that hard," she say. "And this morning, for breakfast, darn, if he didn't have 6 eggs. After all that food, he looked too sick to walk. When us got to the field, I thought he was going to faint." If Sophia say darn, something wrong. "Maybe he don't want to wash dishes," I say. "His daddy never washed a dish in his life." "You reckon?" she say. "He seems so much to love it. To tell the truth, He loved that part of housekeeping a heap more than me. I'd rather be out in the fields or fooling with the animals, even chopping wood. But he loved cooking and cleaning and doing little things round the house. He sure is a good cook, I say. Big surprise to me that he knew anything about it. He never cooked so much as an egg when he lived at home. I bet he wanted to, she said. It seemed so natural to him. But mister, you know how he is. Oh, he all right, I say. You feeling yourself, Miss Seeley? Sophia asked. I mean, he all right in some things, not in others. Oh, she say. Anyway, next time he come here, notice if he eat anything. I notice what he eat all right. First thing, coming up the steps, I give him a close look. He's still skinny, about half Sophia's size, but I see a little pot beginning under his overalls. What you got to eat, Miss Seeley? He say, going straight to the warmer and a piece of fried chicken, then on to the safe for a slice of blackberry pie. He stand by the table and munch, munch. You got any sweet milk? He asked. Got clabber, I say. He said, well, I love clabber, and dip him out some. Sophia must not be feeding you, I say. Why you say that? He asked with his mouth full. Well, it not that long after dinner, and here you is, hungry again. He don't say nothing. Eat. Course, I say, supper time not too far off either. About 3-4 hours. He rummaged through the drawer for a spoon to eat the clabber with. He see a slice of cornbread on the shelf back of the stove. He grab it and crumble it into the glass. Us go back out on the porch, and he put his foots up on the railing. Eat his clabber and cornbread with a glass near about to his nose. Remind me of a hog at the trough. Food tasting like food to you these days, huh? I say, listening to him chew. He don't say nothing. Eat. I look out across the yard. I see Sophia dragging a ladder and then lean it up against the house. She wearing an old pair of Harpo pants, got her head tied up in a head rag. She climb up the ladder to the roof, begin to hammer in nails. Sound echo across the yard like shots. Harpo eat. Watch her. Then he belch. Say, excuse me, Miss Seeley. Take the glass and spoon back in the kitchen. Come out and say bye. No matter what happening now, no matter who come, no matter what they say or do, Harpo eat through it. Food on his mind morning, noon, and night. His belly grow and grow, but the rest of him don't. He began to look like he big. When it do? Us asked. Harpo don't say nothing. Reach for another piece of pie. Dear God, Harpo staying with us this weekend. Friday night after Mr. and Suge and me done gone to bed, I heard this somebody crying. Harpo sitting out on the steps, crying like his heart gonna break. Oh, boo-hoo and boo-hoo. He got his head in his hands, tears and snot running down his chin. I give him a handsker. He blow his nose, look up at me out of two eyes closed like fists. What happened to your eyes? I ask. He clam round in his mind for a story to tell. Then fall back on the truth. Sophia, he say. You still bothering Sophia? I asked. She my wife, he say. That don't mean you got to keep on bothering her, I say. Sophia love you. She a good wife, good to the children and good looking, hard working, God fearing and clean. I don't know what more you want. Harpo sniffle. I want her to do what I say, like you do for Pa. Oh, Lord, I say. When Pa tell you to do something, you do it, he say. When he say not to, you don't. You don't do what he say, he beat you. Sometime beat me anyhow, I say, whether I do what he say or not. That's right, say Harpo, but not Sophia. She do what she want. Don't pay me no mind at all. I try to beat her. She black my eyes. Oh, boo-hoo, he cry. Boo-hoo-hoo. I start to take back my handska, maybe push him and his black eyes off the step. I think about Sophia. She tickle me. I used to hunt game with a bow and arrow, she say. Some women's can't be beat, I say. Sophia one up them. Besides, Sophia love you. She'd probably be happy to do most of what you say if you asked her right. She not mean. She not spiteful. She don't hold a grudge. He sit there hanging his head, looking retard. Harpo, I say, giving him a shake. Sophia love you. You love Sophia. He look up at me best he can out his fat little eyes. Yes, ma'am, he say. Mister marry me to take care of his children. I marry him 'cause my daddy made me. I don't love mister, and he don't love me. But you his wife, he say. Just like Sophia mine, the wife supposed to mind. Do Shug Avery mind, mister? I asked. She the woman he wanted to marry. She call him Albert, tell him his drawers stank in a minute. Little as he is, when she get her weight back, she can sit on him if he try to bother her. Why I mention weight? Harpo start to cry again. Then he start to be sick. He lean over the edge of the step and vomit, look like every piece of pie for the last year come up. When he empty, I put him in the bed next to Shug's little room. He fall right off to sleep. Dear God, I go visit Sophia. She's still working on the roof. The darn thing leaks, she say. She out to the wood pile making shingles. She put a big square piece of wood on the chopping block, and chop, chop, she make big flat shingles. She put the axe down and asked me, do I want some lemonade? I look at her good. Except for a bruise on her wrist, she don't look like she got a scratch on her. How it going with you and Harpo? I asked. Well, she say, he stopped eating so much. But maybe this just a spell. He trying to get as big as you, I say. She's sucking her breath. I kind of thought so, she say, and let out her breath real slow. All the children come running up. Mama, mama, us want lemonade. She pour out 5 glasses for them, 2 for us. Us sit in a wooden swing she made last summer and hung on the shady end of the porch. I'm getting tired of Harpo, she say. All he think about since us married is how to make me mind. He don't want a wife. He want a dog. He your husband, I say. Got to stay with him. Else, what you gonna do? My sister husband caught in the draft, she say. They don't have no children. Odessa love children. He left her on a little farm. Maybe I go stay with them a while. Me and my children. I think about my sister Nettie. Thought so sharp it go through me like a pain. Somebody to run to. It seemed too sweet to bear. Sophia go on, frowning at her glass. I don't like to go to bed with him no more, she say. Used to be when he touched me, I'd go all out my head. Now when he touched me, I just don't want to be bothered. Once he get on top of me, I think about how that's where he always want to be. She sip her lemonade. I used to love that part of it, she say. I used to chase him home from the field. Get all hot just watching him put the children to bed, but no more. Now I feel tired all the time. No interest. Now, now, I say, sleep on it some. Maybe it come back. But I say this just to be saying something. I don't know nothing about it. Mr. Clam on top of me, do his business. In 10 minutes, us both sleep. Only time I feel something stirring down there is when I think about Shug. And that like running to the end of the road, and it turned back on itself. You know the worst part, she say? The worst part is, I don't think he noticed. He get up there and enjoy himself just the same. No matter what I'm thinking, no matter what I feel, it's just him. Heart feeling don't even seem to enter into it. She snort. The fact he can do it like that make me want to kill him. Us look up the path to the house, see Shug and Mister sitting on the steps. He reach over and pick something out her hair. I don't know, say Sophia. Maybe I won't go. Deep down, I still love Harpo. But he just makes me real tired. She yawn, laugh. I need a vacation, she say. Then she go back to the woodpile. Start making some more shingles for the roof. Dear God, Sophia write about her sisters. They all big, strong, healthy girls, look like Amazons. They come early one morning in 2 wagons to pick Sophia up. She don't have much to take, her and the children clothes, a mattress she made last winter, a looking glass, and a rocking chair. The children. Harpo sit on the steps, acting like he don't care. He making a net for seining fish. He look out toward the creek every once in a while and whistle a little tune. But it nothing compared to the way he usually whistle. His little whistle sound like it lost way down in a jar, and the jar in the bottom of the creek. At the last minute, I decide to give Sophia the quilt. I don't know what her sister place be like, but we've been having right smart cold weather long in now. For all I know, she and the children have to sleep on the floor. You gonna let her go? I asked Harpo. He looked like only a fool could ask the question. He puffed back. She made up her mind to go, he say. How I'm gonna stop her? Let her go on, he say, cutting his eyes at her sister wagons. Us sit on the steps together. All us hear from inside is the thump, thump, thump of plump and stout feet. All Sophia's sisters moving round together at one time make the house shake. Where us going? Asked the oldest girl. Going to visit Aunt Odessa, say Sophia. Daddy coming? She asked. No, say Sophia. How come Daddy ain't coming? Another one asked. Daddy need to stay here and take care of the house. Look after Dilsey, Coco, and Boo. The child come stand in front of his daddy and just look at him real good. You not coming? He say. Harpo say, no. Child go whisper to the baby crawling round on the floor. Daddy not coming with us. What you think of that? Baby sit real still, strain real hard. Fart. Us all laugh, but it's sad, too. Harpo pick it up, finger the didy, and get her ready for a change. I don't think she wet, say Sophia, just gas. But he changed her anyway. Him and the baby over in a corner of the little porch, out of the way of traffic. He used the old dry diety to wipe his eyes. At the last, he hands Sophia the baby, and she sling it upside her hip, sling a sack of dieties and food over her shoulder, corral all the little ones together, tell them to say goodbye to Daddy. Then she hug me best she can, what with the baby and all, and she climb up on the wagon. Every sister just about got a child tween her knees, except the two driving the mules, and they all quiet as they leave Sophia and Harpo yard and drive on up past the house. Dear God, Sophia gone 6 months, Papo act like a different man. used to be a homebody. Now, all the time in the road. I asked him what going on. He said, Miss Seeley, I done learned a few things. One thing he learned is that he cute. Another, that he's smart. Plus, he can make money. He don't say who the teacher is. I hadn't heard so much hammering since before Sophia left. But every evening after he leave the field, he knocking down and nailing up. Sometime his friend Swain come by to help. The two of them work all into the night. Mister have to call down to tell them to shut up the racket. What you building? I ask. Juke joint, he say. Way back here? No further back than any of the others. I don't know nothing about no others, only about the Lucky Star. Juke joint supposed to be back in the woods, say Harpo. Nobody be bothered by the loud music, the dancing, the fights. Swain say, the killings. Harpo say, and the polices don't know where to look. What's Sophia gonna say about what you doing to her house, I ask. Suppose she and the children come back, where they gonna sleep? They ain't coming back, say Harpo, nailing together planks for our counter. How you know? I asked. He don't answer. He keep working, doing everything with Swain. Dear God, the first week, nobody come. Second week, three or four. Third week, one. Harpo sit behind his little counter, listening to Swain pick his box. He got cold drinks, he got barbecue, he got chitlins, got store-bought bread, he got a sign saying Harpo's, tacked up on the side of the house, and another one out on the road, but he ain't got no customers. I go down the path to the yard, stand outside, look in. Harpo look out and wave. Come on in, Miss Seeley, he say. I say, no, thank you. Mister sometime walk down, have a cold drink, listen to Swain. Miss Shug walk down, too, every once in a while. She's still wearing her little shifts, and I still cornrow her hair, but it getting long now, and she says soon she want it press. Harpo puzzled by Shug. One reason is she say whatever come to mind, forget about polite. Sometime I see him staring at her real hard when he don't think I'm looking. One day he say, nobody coming where I hear just to hear Swain. Wonder could I get the queen honey bee? I don't know, I said. She a lot better now, always humming or singing something. She probably be glad to get back to work. Why don't you ask her? Shug say his place not much compared to what she used to, but she think maybe she might grace it with a song. Harpo and Swain got Mister to give him some of Shug's old announcements from out the trunk. Crossed out the Lucky Star of Coleman Road, put in Harpo's of the plantation. Stuck 'em on trees tween the turnoff to our road and town. The first Saturday night, so many folks come they couldn't get in. Shug, Shug, baby, us thought you was dead. 5 out of 12 say hello to Shug like that. And come to find out it was you, Shug say with a big grin. At last, I get to see Shug Avery work. I get to watch her. I get to hear her. Mister didn't want me to come. Wives don't go to places like that, he say. Yeah, but Celia going, says Shug, while I press her hair. Suppose I get sick while I'm singing, she say. Suppose my dress come undone. She wearing a skin-tight red dress looked like the straps made out of 2 pieces of thread. Mr. Mutter putting on his clothes. My wife can't do this. My wife can't do that. No wife of mine's. He go on and on. Shug Avery finally say, good thing I ain't your damn wife. He hushed then. All three of us go down to Harpo's. Mr. and me sit at the same table. Mister drink whiskey. I have a cold drink. First Shug sing a song by somebody named Bessie Smith. She say Bessie somebody she know. old friend. It call a good man is hard to find. She look over at Mr. Lil when she sing that. I look over at him too. For such a little man, he all puff up, look like all he can do to stay in his chair. I look at Suge and I feel my heart begin to cramp. It hurt me so, I cover it with my hand. I think I might as well be under the table for all they care. I hate the way I look. I hate the way I'm dressed. Nothing but church-going clothes in my chiffon robe. And Mister, looking at Suge's bright black skin and her tight red dress, her feet in little sassy red shoes, her hair shining in waves. Before I know it, tears meet under my chin, and I'm confused. He loved looking at Suge. I love looking at Suge, but Suge don't love looking at but one of us, him. But that the way it's supposed to be, I know that. But if that's so, why my heart hurt me so? My head droops so it near about in my glass. Then I hear my name, Suge saying, Seely, Miss Seely. And I look up where she at. She say my name again. She say, this song I'm about to sing is called Miss Seely's Song, 'cause she scratched it out of my head when I was sick. First she hum it a little, like she do at home. Then she sing the words. It all about some no-count man doing her wrong again, but I don't listen to that part. I look at her, and I hum along a little with the tune. First time somebody made something, and name it after me. Dear God, pretty soon it be time for Suge to go. She sing every weekend now at Harpo's. He make right smart money off of her, and she make some too. Plus she getting strong again and stout. First night or two, her songs come out good, but a little weak. Now she belt them out. Folks out in the yard hear her with no trouble. She and Swain sound real good together. She sing. He pick his box. It nice at Harpo's. Little tables all round the room with candles on them that I made. Lot of little tables outside, too, by the creek. Sometime I look down the path from our house, and it looked like a swarm of lightning bugs all in and through Sophia House. In the evening, Suge can't wait to go down there. One day she say to me, well, Miss Seely, I believe it time for me to go. When? I asked. Early next month, she say, June. June a good time to go off into the world. I don't say nothing. Feel like I felt when Nettie left. She come over and put her hand on my shoulder. He beat me when you not here, I say. Who do? She say, Albert? Mister, I say. I can't believe it, she say. She sit down on the bench next to me real hard, like she drop. What he beat you for? She asked. For being me and not you. Oh, Miss Seely, she say, and put her arms round me. I'll sit like that for maybe half an hour. Then she kissed me on the fleshy part of my shoulder and stand up. I won't leave, she say, until I know Albert won't even think about beating you. Dear God, now we all know she going sometime soon. They sleep together at night. Not every night, but almost every night, from Friday to Monday. He go down to Harpo's to watch her sing and just to look at her. Then way late they come home. They giggle and they talk and they wrestle until morning. Then they go to bed until it's time for her to get ready to go back to work. First time it happened, it was an accident. Feeling just carried them away. That's what Suge say. He don't say nothing. She asked me, "Tell me the truth," she said. "Do you mind if Albert sleep with me?" I think, "I don't care who Albert sleep with." But I don't say that. I say, "You might get big again." She said, "No, not with my sponge and all." "You still love him?" I asked. She said, "I got what you call a passion for him. If I was ever going to have a husband, he'd have been it. But he weak," she say. "Can't make up his mind what he want. And from what you tell me, he a bully. Some things I love about him, though," she say. "He smell right to me. He's so little. He make me laugh." "You like to sleep with him?" I asked. "Yeah, Celie," she say. "I have to confess, I just love it. Don't you?" "No," I say. "Mister can tell you, I don't like it at all." "What is it to like?" "He get up on you, heist your nightgown round your waist, plunge in. Most times I pretend I ain't there. He never know the difference. Never ask me how I feel. Nothing. Just do his business, get off, go to sleep." She start to laugh. "Do his business," she say. "Do his business? Why, Miss Celie, you make it sound like he going to the toilet on you." "That what it feel like," I say. She stopped laughing. "You never enjoy it at all?" she asked, puzzled. "Not even with your children's daddy?" "Never," I say. "Why, Miss Celie," she say, "you still a virgin." "What?" I asked. "Listen," she say, "right down there in your pussy is a little button that gets real hot when you do you know what with somebody. It get hotter and hotter, and then it melt. That's the good part. But other parts good too," she say. "Lot of sucking go on here and there," she say. "Lot of finger and tongue work." "Button, finger, and tongue?" My face hot enough to melt itself. She said, "Here, take this mirror and go look at yourself down there. I bet you never seen it, have you?" "No." "And I bet you never seen Albert down there either." "I felt him," I say. I stand there with the mirror. She say, "What? Too shame even to go off and look at yourself. And you look so cute, too," she say, laughing. "All dressed up for heart pose, smelling good and everything, but scared to look at your own pussy." "You come with me while I look," I say. And us run off to my room like two little prankish girls. "You guard the door," I say. She giggle. "Okay," she say. "Nobody coming. Coast clear." I lie back on the bed and haul up my dress, yank down my bloomers, stick the looking glass between my legs. All the hair. Then my pussy lips be black. Then inside look like a wet rose. "Get a lot prettier than you thought, ain't it?" she say from the door. "It mine," I say. "Where's the button?" "Right up near the top," she say, "the part that stick out a little." I look at her and touch it with my finger. A little shiver go through me, nothing much, but just enough to tell me this the right button to mash, maybe. She say, "While you looking, look at your titties, too." I haul up my dress and look at my titties, think about my babies sucking them. Remember the little shiver I felt then, too, sometimes a big shiver. Best part about having the babies was feeding them. "Albert and Harpo coming," she say. And I yank up my drawers and yank down my dress. I feel like us been doing something wrong. "I don't care if you sleep with him," I say. And she take me at my word. I take me at my word, too. But when I hear them together, all I can do is pull the quilt over my head and finger my little button and titties and cry. Dear God, one night while Shug singing a hot one, who should come prancing through the door of Harpo's but Sophia? She with a big, tall, hefty man looked like a prize fighter.